Tonight on TMS PM, Joan Rivers is no more.
Bill Duran is here.
Nude photo leak going up in a gallery.
Disney does not like techno.
Betty White is not no more.
Oh, your Twitter questions, your Twitter questions, and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TMS PM. It's the PM edition of TMS.
Mm-hmm. Don't mind me, I gotta reach
take
over
with
here.
Food.
Yeah, take with food.
Brian's not only a doctor, but he plays one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone get a text? Was that you?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, it's all right.
I just muted the phone.
He's a busy guy, man. He's got stuff going on.
It's not even important. And I don't even know why I've got this on my phone. Trending now, Bucky Brooks, Jordy Nelson versus Richard Sherman among week one matchups to watch.
The hell is that?
It comes from NFL Mobile for some stupid reason.
All right, weird. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. And we have with us in studio, my studio anyway, here in,
In the Utah.
In the Utah. We have one, the only, Mr. Bill Duran. Tuesday's own Bill Duran. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, catching an eye full of crotch.
That's right. He's looking at my, Bill's looking at my crotch. I'm thinking about hiking this all up so you can get a better shot.
Would rather you didn't.
My man bits.
Hike it up. You might know him from Tuesday.
Tuesday is usually when Bill's here, but he wasn't here this week because he was busy at Dragon Con doing all kinds of fun stuff, hanging out with some friends kind of post-Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And, real quick, how did your how did it all go? How was the trip?
I always find myself saying this every year, but this was the best Dragon Con ever.
Mm, oh wow! Now, if you had to quantify what made it the best, could you do that?
A lot of people I don't get to see very frequently are there, and I got to see all of them, which was really great.
Yeah. Cosplayers and old friends or what?
Yep. Other professional makers, friends I don't see who are from the East Coast.
Yeah.
My brother and his wife were there along with my wife, which was really great.
Yeah.
And, those Night Attack gentlemen put on one hell of a show on Saturday. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
They know how to throw an event, don't they?
They sure do. Yeah.
Jeez.
I still remember the one where you were at it may have even been their first one, but you were there in your Hawk outfit costume and had just sort of barely missed the vote and lost that contract test.
Right.
But yeah, how far that weird thing has come.
I know.
Those guys. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The whole thing was really, really great. I made my goal. I was never hungover any of the mornings, which was a very important goal for me, which meant I made it to the parade, which was a lot of fun. My brother and I running around with little claptrap robots, high-fiving children.
How'd you keep cool in that that heat?
Stayed out in it for not a long time.
Solution found.
Yeah, go inside and chug more water.
That's great. Very cool. Well, I'm glad it was a good time.
Yeah.
And I hope your stay in Salt Lake City, where again a bunch of cosplay and maker folks will be. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a good one.
Salt Lake Comic Con.
That's right. Up and coming, man. Big news lately. So we'll see how it goes this weekend.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of the people I saw and know over at Dragon Con will be here this weekend too.
Crazy.
Yeah, for serious though. There's a lot of buzz around Salt Lake Comic Con.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time to do it. The weather's awesome. It's beautiful out there. You're not going to get hot in your costume. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm.
But you might attract some hot people in your costume.
Whoa! Hubba hubba!
Yeah,
you know, nerd ladies really like the married Draugr types.
Oh,
right?
Do they?
Yeah, the undead.
The married Draugr types.
The sweaty married Draugr types.
That's awesome. Well, before we get too far into things today, Bill's going to hang with us obviously for the whole show, and we'll feel free to pipe in whenever it makes sense. I'm going to add to the call one Daryl Skills and his six saltines.
Oh,
yeah, we're trying this. Let's see.
One Daryl Skills and six saltines.
And I think he'll be on video now. Everyone at home will see this. YouTube viewers will see this. Audio listeners will have to just take our word for whatever we see here. And honestly, it's not that big of a display. He's just going to jam a bunch of crackers in his mouth, which is kind of what you want in this challenge. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Hello, I am good, and I'm ready to choke on whatever I eat now.
Three or four more seats, and we'd have Nerdtacular TMS group.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, with Bill and you, and who else are we missing? I guess we're missing Wendy, Jury.
And some spoiled yogurt soda.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's all we need to complete the trifecta.
Never again. Hey, did you? That reminds me, Daryl, didn't you try a fresh version of that, and it was okay?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was much better. It was like cheese before they age it.
Okay, still not wanting.
Yeah, it doesn't sound any better.
That's not a selling point right there.
Cheese before they age it. I don't know that I've had cheese before they age it. Is that even cheese at that point, or is it called something else?
It's called the yogurt soda.
Pre-cheese.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
I don't want that.
No. Nope. Brian has just said a thing I don't want.
Yeah.
Daryl, it's a fun thing we're doing now where not always, I mean, we're not going to hold you to this every week or anything, but you did the banana Sprite challenge last week. This week you get to attempt the eat six saltines in 60 seconds challenge without any water or help and see if you can do it. Now, I want to take bets here around the table. I think Daryl will get three in and lose. I think three is his maximum. Brian, what do you say?
I think he's going to get all six in his mouth. And he may not do it all simultaneously. It's probably going to be like a 3-3 or a 2-2-2. But the 60 seconds will pass and there will still be plenty of cracker
in the mouth of Daryl.
There'll be
skills.
Plenty of Nabisco represented in his maw.
Okay. I'm going to guess he gets five in his mouth before I make him laugh and he spits them out.
Yeah, that's right. The saltine cloud is definitely one of the goals. It's our challenge.
Ah, the saltine cloud. All right. We know what we're aiming for. We know what to do. And Daryl, what do you think your chances are?
I think I'm going to get I'm going to get them all in my mouth and then be completely clogged up and unable to do anything from then on.
All right. So your life will essentially end after that many crackers. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, let's give it a try and see how you do. I have high hopes here. I was going to make a theme for you and I didn't. So we're just going to use this again. Hold on. This is Daryl saying.
Zert.
That's your theme. Zert.
You don't have any cracker music? You don't have any
cracker. Well, I got a lot of cracker music, Brian.
Like, happy birthday to me or
how about this one? Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Copacabana.
All right. I'm going to play too much or we'll get banned from the internet. So, Daryl, let's see the crackers. Hold them up. Let's see. What kind you got?
Well, this is a skinny, weird kind from Trader Joe's.
Oh, wait a minute.
They are taller than the regular ones, so I think they're the same weight.
So you think surface area is about the same?
Yeah.
And what are the dimensions on those? We need a judge.
Yeah, I don't want to see you with a handful of six oyster crackers.
That's right.
No, they're not that. I'll go get a ruler and measure them.
All right, I'm down with that.
Worried for a second that his headset was wired and then we're going to see him get yanked right back.
You know what you were secretly hoping.
Oh, man. It is wired.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Oh, it's just longly wired.
Wow. I didn't have to go very far. I have a ruler that I use to measure phaser parts as I make them.
I'm glad you said phaser parts. All right. So let's measure one. Let's see. Because the others are square and I don't have one here to measure.
And saltines are 2 inches by 2 inches.
Okay, thank you.
This is about 2.5 by 1¾, or no, not 1¾, 1⅜.
Okay.
All right. So 2.5 by 1⅜. That'd be 1.675, I believe.
This is great.
All right. So I approve.
Okay. I'll let this one go.
Yeah.
What do you think, Bill? Bill, you all right?
I'm on board.
Okay, Bill's down with it. Everyone agrees? We're good? Okay. Daryl, use your cheaty crackers, and let's see how this goes.
wait. And are these saltines? These aren't like Trader Joe's version of club crackers or meltaways or something like that.
No, they're not any fake thing. I actually tested some earlier.
They were fine.
They were exactly the same.
Okay,
different shape.
They're stunt crackers.
That's what I needed.
All right, I'm going to set the stopwatch. Or actually, you know what? You're going to. Well, no, I'll do it as a stopwatch. All right, hold on.
I have a little thing with a second hand here too to look right. at.
Keep your eye on that. I'll do that over here just to kind of have a standard timer on our end. I know there's a little bit of lag on Skype, so hopefully we can compensate for that. But given, I'd say anywhere within a second below or above, I think we're fine.
So am I permitted to drink some water before I start?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't like keep water in your mouth.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you know what? Is it? Well, I don't know what the rules are. Can he not drink any water beforehand?
No,
I don't know.
He cannot drink any water. Well, he needs to stop drinking any water before he puts any crackers in his mouth, and the water may not. He cannot still drink any more water. No.
So I can't go like this. I can't go. Okay.
Yeah, now you can't do that. You cannot do that. But if you swallow that now, you're fine. You're all right.
Okay, it's gone.
All right,
okay.
I believe you. Here you go. You don't have secret like insect pouches on the inside of your cheeks that keep water.
Yeah. I think if he could work up that much of his own saliva,
yeah.
I think that would be okay.
A little extra in your carapace there. All right, yeah. Daryl, here you go. I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. When I say 1, that's when your timer starts. And we begin in 3, 2, 1. Timer's going. We're a second in. We're 5 seconds in. So far, so good. Did you take... Cloud of crackers is all we want. 15 seconds.
The math while he's doing this. I can tell you the math here. A true saltine is 4 square inches. The saltines he's using are if 0.325 is 3/8 of an inch. Mm-hmm. These are 3.4375 square inches. So
bigger or smaller than
smaller? Less. They're smaller. Yeah.
That's all right. We're 35.
It looked like a dry Bellagio fountain right there.
Doing maintenance for the big holiday season. They're doing maintenance on the fountain. 49 seconds. You have 10 seconds.
Heimlich maneuver.
53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60.
I'm done. Yay.
No, it's still your mouth is full.
It's just a mouthful of crackers.
You lost.
It's mostly there. There's maybe about 2 marbles.
So what we've proven is these are slightly smaller. So you had an advantage on the smaller.
Yeah.
We've still proven that in 60 seconds, 6 crackers, even smaller, and possibly with more like butter and stuff in them, still didn't pull it off. Still couldn't do it. Now, this does not reflect on you. This just says something about our society and how wrong we are about things.
So not gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, not gone in 60 seconds, which is what I say every time I see that movie and I'm tempted to rent it. I say no. Daryl, congratulations. You proved that is not a thing people can do. Now,
I think somebody can do it.
Well, Iceworm claims he can. So he says he's going to immediately after your results get on camera and do a YouTube version of his challenge and then brag about it if he indeed does it.
Wow.
He pulled off the banana thing in screaming fast time. Mm-hmm. I actually think he might have a way to do it. I think he knows no failure. I don't think he knows how to fail. So we'll let him have his chance. Daryl,
I think if you have any problems, you just have Joey Image come over and whack you in the chest really hard a couple times. That chokes down those last couple saltines.
How the crap did he just take that like that? I still don't know. I'm still blown away by that. All right, Daryl, congratulations. Let's do this again.
I don't think I even ate the whole bunch of this stuff because when I first put it in my mouth, it just crunched and crumbled all over outside of my mouth. Yeah. And then I was laughing because it was so dry and powdery that just a poof of stuff went everywhere.
Now you got like crotch crumbs, right? You don't want those. Yeah. Nobody eats those.
No.
Nice attempt, though, dude.
Well, I wouldn't kick Daryl out of the studio for eating crackers.
Nope, I would not. But dry Bellagio fountain is today's title of the show. That was really, really awesome. Daryl, stay out of trouble. Be good. All right. Back to it. Back on it.
All right.
That was awesome. We should do more of those.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy them.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Ooh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by Elise's Choice by Rachel M. Stiber. Elise and her best friend Anton grew up in the medieval village of Petherelm, where life, though hard, is good. When a stranger arrives in her village injured and unconscious, Elise is taken in by his handsome face and sweet demeanor. Elise's Choice is available in paperback and ebook format from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Smashwords.
I laugh because I'm not used to you saying things like handsome face and sweet demeanor. It's an odd thing to hear Brian Ibbett say.
I know, and I'm laughing because I'm hearing you laughing.
Oh, sorry. It's my bad.
No, it's all right.
We're symbiotic.
Well, I was kind of laughing at the line, where life, though hard, is good.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. Definitely go check that out, folks. All right, Joan Rivers. She has died. She has passed away. Yeah. Does anyone have any other than sort of passing entertainment connection to Joan Rivers, like where she really had a big, powerful impact on you at all?
Not really. You know, I enjoyed, more or less enjoyed her in Spaceballs.
Yeah.
I forgot she was the C-3PO thing in there.
Yeah. Dot Matrix. Yeah.
Top Matrix.
And, you know, she was funny when she'd come on and host in place of Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Back in the old days.
They had a big falling out, those two.
Did they really?
Yeah. So I was watching that Johnny Carson documentary on Netflix. I think it's still there. It's really good. King of Late Night or something. And the whole thing's really good. And they interview her a lot about her start there and how he really latched on to her and thought she was awesome and kept inviting her back and then inviting her to host and all this stuff. And then she got an offer. I think it was Fox. Somebody offered her a late night talk show. And she didn't call Johnny to basically get his blessing.
Mm.
And she just took the job. And that thing was a miserable failure. It didn't do well.
Right.
But it aired for a few weeks or something. And he was so pissed, he just cut all contact off. Just said, that's it. I'm out. I'm not interested.
You know, there's been weird stuff surfacing lately with Johnny Carson. Wasn't there a
sex tape?
It was like the sex tape. Yeah. There was the thing where he hired a private investigator to watch his wife because he thought she was cheating on him.
Yeah, even though he cheated on her a bunch of times.
Right.
One of his wives.
Yeah, it's a...
Carson, it's a, you know, let me tell you
whole
something.
Different world than what we were led to believe.
Spotlight Hollywood, dude.
Yeah.
It's a bitter, bitter pill. Yeah, it's the bitterest pill. Jaggedest right. pill, sorry. But you know what I mean? Like, I like this, like, Bill's going to con level of fame and my internet radio / comic dude fame... And Brian Ibbett's music / TMS / podcaster guy fame. Like, that's my kind of fame, dude.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you can go downtown and hang out with friends and fans and everybody's excited to see you. But you can then walk out and go to a Taco Bell and nobody knows who the hell you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I couldn't even pay anyone to get my nude photos.
That's right. No matter how many times you tell the people at Taco Bell, they still don't know who you are.
Yeah. You don't understand. I'm like a really big deal on the internet.
Yeah.
And they're like, sir, you still have to pay for those tacos.
Sorry, that chalupa is not free for even you. But you know, we don't have to Bieber around and have people know immediately who we are and have like big bodyguards with us to keep us safe all the time. I think the money's cool, the fame's fleeting, but in the end, that's a miserable place sometimes.
It is.
Maybe not all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge everybody. Some people have it figured out. It's why they have, you know, a ranch in Wyoming and they barely step foot in Hollywood unless they have to. I'd be that guy. That would be me.
Fame is one of those things that everyone thinks they want until they get it.
And then they're just like, ugh.
That's right.
That's something that's actually happened with a lot of people I know in the cosplay world.
Has it?
Yeah. They throw themselves out there because it seems ideal. But then that you get a lot of, you know, just the internet, the ire of the internet.
Yeah, it can
weighing
get you
down on you. Yeah,
it can get you. And those are low level stuff. Like,
right.
I can't imagine imagine what it's like for, say, I don't know, Will Wheaton or Felicia Day. And then there's a whole nother level above them. And then a whole nother level above that. And then you get into like Brad and Angelina territory.
Right.
Where everything
you
can't
even leave the house.
Yeah. Like,
as
whole
you're
life.
Leaving your house, as your gate opens, you're being chased by cars to get pictures of wherever you're going.
I couldn't do it.
No.
And then, you know, and Johnny Carson, I mean, no, this is nothing about Joan Rivers dying, but you know, why would he be immune from that stuff? I mean, a lot of the stuff in that documentary talks about how he was a very private guy and the opposite of a guy that would want that kind of fame. And the two things clashed and made him a little crazy. But Joan Rivers, man, I remember her from, do you remember, what was the show that had the gold dancers or whatever?
Solid Gold.
She'd come out and do comedy bits on that show.
Would she really?
Yeah, like a stand-up in the middle. She'd come out and go, oh,
that's weird.
Can we talk and do her thing that she does?
What are you wearing?
I think that was a low point, though. I think that was like a thing she didn't want to be doing, but she was sticking with it until she could kind of get over that hump and then get to the next hump.
Yeah.
So if you want to do yourselves a favor, and even if you don't like Joan Rivers or her comedy or her style or whatever, or all that plastic surgery, go watch her documentary, and I forgot the name of it. Chat room will tell us.
Piece of Work, I think it's called.
That's it.
Yeah.
Really, really good, and a great look at kind of who she really is and was. Made me respect her a lot for how hard she works. She's worked her A off her entire life. And very interesting.
She was on a recent Celebrity Apprentice season, and she went toe to toe with Trump all the time. And he does his usual thing of, you know, you've been in the industry a really long time, and I really respect you, and you're huge in the in the industry.
Huge.
And but she, you know, there were times where she called him out on crap, and I got to say, respect her for that.
Well, yeah, it. There's a lot to like, and there's some things that are, you know, I don't know. She said some things even lately that have been a little controversial.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's the deal with all these comedians dying right now? It's feast or famine. So off she goes.
Watch out, Louis Anderson.
Yeah, you're next, buddy. Ooh, that's probably true. I shouldn't say that.
Well, and if something does happen to Louis Anderson, all of a sudden we look really suspicious.
We would feel really, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd feel really bad. Yeah, the honest part is we'd feel really bad.
but in a very real way, her style and her comedy are not kind of in my generation. Like, I don't really relate to it very much.
Sure.
But she reminds me that we are now running out of those people that mm-hmm. would appeal to, say, my mother's crowd. Mm-hmm. And we are starting to dip into my people.
Yeah.
Where Seinfeld's in his 50s and, you know.
Something we got to keep an eye on Wayne Newton and his new girlfriends.
Yeah, right? This is totally true. All right, Disney.
That national treasure disappears.
Let's talk about Disney for a second. I actually want to, Bill, I want to ask you a question about Disney in a second. All right. Without incriminating yourself here. But Disney opposes dance music stars icon mouse head trademark. They're talking about Dead Mouse. Mm. And for some reason, Reuters is afraid to say that in the headline, but whatever.
Well, probably, yeah.
Disney.
A Deadma 5? What's a Deadma 5?
What's a Deadma 5? Run this down to Billy and get this over to copywriting.
It's probably because the stationery that Disney uses is just like a form you peel off of C&Ds.
Must be.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Just like a stamp. Like a yellow pad. By the way, can you sense it, though? I'm such a high-strung dude all the time. I love being around Bill because he is chill, man. Can you feel it? Can you hear it? Part of it's because he's been conning for 2 weeks, but
that's because I'm exhausted.
He's tired, but I like it. It's like, hey, everyone calm down. It's fine.
We can just all just get along.
Yeah.
Let's see why not.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, where was I? Oh, they're asking for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to refuse a trademark by electronic music star Deadmau5, who wears the LED light powered big eared mouse helmet during his concerts. Deadmau5, pronounced Deadmau5. Thanks. Thanks, article.
Pronounced Dead Mouse.
Dead Mouse. Uh-huh. Is the stage name for Joel Zimmerman, who once called the Diablo show. I have proof that he called. Cool. Yeah, that was really awesome that he called. In fact, you guys want to hear it just for fun?
Yeah.
Just a taste of it.
Sure.
Hold on now. Just a second here. Hold on. Maybe I didn't save it. Joel Zimmerman. Oh, damn it. I can't find it. Anyway, Joel Zimmerman called the Diablo show once. It was really nice. Eric thinks it didn't happen, but Eric can suck a duck.
Yeah.
Let's see. He applied put in for the application in 2013. I don't know why it took him so long, but it did. And Disney's saying no way. Lawyer up Mickey Zimmerman, age 33, told his 3 million Twitter followers, Disney thinks they might confuse an established electronic musician performer with a cartoon mouse. How stupid do they think you are? Now, I had somebody on Twitter, because I think it's stupid, too. If I can't draw a pair of round ear things, am I always going to be in trouble with Disney? I don't know. But the bigger issue for me is not that they shouldn't actively protect their trademarks, but does anyone confuse the two? Are there kids
going,
well, that must be Disney.
It must be a Disney
give people
a
credit.
Disney product.
Yeah. So the reason I wanted to ask Bill a question. Bill was talking earlier about how occasionally cosplayers will get cease and desist for things.
Right.
And Disney's actually does that a lot, right?
Yeah, generally it's if you are selling something.
All right.
So if you dress up in a costume of something, there's nothing. They can't tell you to stop. But if you sell, especially copies of things, like whenever you've tried to sell a run of prints, you know, it's got something in it.
Yeah.
They will go after that sort of thing because they have precedent there where they could say that they are either planning on selling something similar to that or they already do.
They own prior art or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but okay, let's say you're making an Iron Man, like your Iron Man gauntlet, the hand.
Yeah.
And it was real successful, and everybody's like, "Yeah, that thing's rad. See you at Dragon Con. Hey, good luck, good news, everybody. I'm gonna be selling those at my table. I've only got about 10, but I'll sell them."
Right.
They could send you. They could, now that they own Marvel, they could issue you something like that.
Yeah, they could. At a con, it'd be harder to do. And if I only have like 10 of them, it's possible. And this has happened. I don't know exactly what company did it, but I've heard of companies going around a convention, going up to booths and saying, stop it.
Yeah, no, I've heard this too. In fact, didn't this happen to you, Brian, at the Star Trek convention? Somebody from Star Trek or from the convention came and talked to you about Smooth Federation or something?
Well, they came in, they just came and looked at our, you know, they looked at the album. They said, you have all the licenses. I had to do this all before, well before we even got to the con. I had to submit the clearance, the licensing that we paid for from Limelight that said we could legally do this. And that was even before we could even get a table. So they had their ducks in a row well before that. And we, you know, CBS, again, not somebody you want to cross.
No. Well, no. They're, in fact, they're owned by Disney now, aren't they, even? Isn't CBS owned by Disney? I thought they were. Or maybe I'm thinking ABC, maybe.
Yeah, ABC definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that. Never mind. But yeah, it's a big corporation, dude.
Yeah.
It's a big corporation. So, they, you know, they put their ducks in a row and they make sure that, that, you know, you're not going to make money on off of any of their trademarks. And since Disney does sell music, I can see why they would want to put a stop to this. Because let's say Deadmau5 just releases an album cover that's got just his outline on it.
Yeah.
Right. And no words on the cover. No, you know.
His kind latest of a black is album. Kind of like that, actually. Yeah. In a is weird it? Way. Yeah.
Then Disney has precedence to say, okay, this is a trademarked image that we currently own. You know, the three, basically it's three circles, but we own it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
It could be done in a way that was close enough that it would be confusing. I would see that.
Like you said, silhouettes or something or whatever. But when you see that big glary face on that thing, I'm not having any trouble discerning between that and Mickey Mouse.
No. It's got the eyes and the mouth, the big smiley mouth thing.
And I guess that's my problem with it is it makes this, I understand the law and you got to protect your copyrights. And if you don't, you know, rigorously try to protect your own stuff, then you can lose those things. Right. Mm-hmm. So I get that, but this just is a weird nuanced thing where I think people are smarter than this. And it bugs me that Disney, cares. Again, they're just following the law, but common sense says, I know that's not Mickey Mouse, and I don't know anyone who would think otherwise.
Yep.
In fact, I've got every Deadmau5 album there is. I've liked him since the beginning, and I'm not trying to be a hipster, but I never once
I liked him before he was cool.
I never once said, ooh, that reminds me of Mickey Mouse. And there are some people on Twitter called me out on that, said, dude, it totally does, and I'm surprised they didn't get after him until now. Like, really? Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Our crazy copyright weird thing, and this is where if you don't ever have to deal with copyright stuff, you may get confused about how it works. My friend made a costume out of the carpet at the Marriott at Dragon Con, which is hilarious and awesome because
I love that. Yeah.
It's a hideous pattern, and he went and he got his own custom cloth printed. Now, Spoonflower, the website where he went and got it, you can put patterns up and sell them, patterns that you've made. And he did that because he wanted other people to dress up like the carpet at the Marriott.
Right.
The company that makes the carpet sent the Spoonflower a cease and desist and said, you can't sell this pattern. It's our pattern. Makes sense, right? So Spoonflower just stopped.
That blew my mind, by the way, when it happened, though.
Yeah. So. But he was doing exactly what the copyright is meant to protect.
Right.
You know, copying that pattern.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing is he just gave that pattern out for free to his friends, and then we just went and got our own cloth printed. It wasn't being sold.
Yeah.
No one was making any money on it, and it wasn't breaking copyright. So a bunch of us showed up this year dressed up like the carpet at the Marriott.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. But
that is really cool.
Every other person that saw me, because there was a like an IO9 article or something about this whole thing, everyone's like, didn't you guys get sued?
Yeah.
I heard they got sued. It's like, guys, it's a cease and desist. It's not.
Am I illegally allowed to look at you?
Yeah. Or they thought like that the Marriott staff was going to tackle us or like kick us out or something.
Yeah. overly simplified version of what how that stuff works.
Right. It's like, no, there's a cease and desist. We got the own pattern and we made it ourselves. No big deal.
Yeah, even this thing with Deadmau5 is not them suing him. They're just saying quit it. And he's saying now he can turn it into a trial because he's saying lawyer up because I'm not changing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's just that they're just trying to stop him from trademarking that shape, you know, that look. So
do you think it still irritates the carpet people that you guys all showed up that way, though, even though you couldn't sell it and they don't have legal grounds to say anything? Do you think
doubt it.
Yeah.
Because we weren't going to buy carpet from them anyway.
That's right. It wasn't cannibalizing carpet sales.
Yeah.
And trust me, if you see that carpet, neither was anyone else. No, I mean, come on. It's hideous.
It's pretty bad. It's worse than 90% of the Vegas carpet I've seen.
Yeah.
It's just bad. But you look great in it, dude.
Yeah, we rocked it. Yeah. I had a nice short sleeve button up shirt done up in the Marriott carpet.
Did you make that yourself?
No, my sister in law did all those for me.
Good Lord.
Shout out to Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie, way to go.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks. You'll never hear this, but thanks. So there's that. That's going on. I did want to mention this real quick. Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton's nude photos that have been part of this hack.
Right.
They are going up in an art exhibit. And you might say to yourself, oh, did they approve that? Well, no, they did not.
No, they didn't.
Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton's nude photos will be the subject of an art exhibit in Florida by artist XVALA. I don't know if you're supposed to say that phonetically or if I did it right.
It's not Roman numeral. That can't be turned into Roman numerals with those A's.
No, it'd be, what would that be? That'd be 25 ala.
Or
15 ala.
Yeah, and then the L would be.
Oh, is L a Roman numeral?
L is 50, I think, isn't it?
Oh, so it'd be 15, 50,
Right. Oh, well, now it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. We share our secrets with technology, he said in a statement, he or she. I don't know if this is the lady or dude. And when we do, our privacy becomes accessible to others. In today's culture, everybody wants to know everything about everybody. An individual's privacy has become everyone else's business. It has become cash for cash. The show titled No Delete. Whatever. We'll feature the artist's...
No delete.
It's his 7-year collection of images from celebrities in their most vulnerable and private moments. So these aren't even the two only ones.
In other words, he's got a bunch of celebrity nudes that he wants to post.
Yeah. I think that's probably illegal, what he's doing.
He didn't take the photos.
So it's not illegal because he didn't take them?
No. What I'm saying is that he doesn't have rights to those photos.
Right.
Oh, and it is illegal. I mean, they didn't license those out for anybody to use.
And in most cases, the people who took the photos are the ones in them. So they do have the right to say, no, you can't put this in a...
Sure.
I took that photo. That's my copyrighted image of my ginormous, misshapen torso and boobs.
Right. Oh, you're talking about a Kate Upton, are you?
I don't know. No, that was just an example. That was just hypothetical.
Look, I am not... This is... People think I'm sexist about Kate Upton. I'm not at all. I'm not talking about how... She's beautiful. There's no question. She has a weird torso. It's just weird.
It has to be weird. It's a structural thing.
Yeah,
it's
it is. Bones and some... I don't know what's going on there. And I'm not talking about these photos. I've not seen them.
It has to be weird.
Yeah, no. That's part of the deal. Yeah.
Right.
All right. I understand.
In other words, otherwise she would just topple over.
Right. And you can't have that?
No.
Oh, I see. You say it's structural. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying it's structural.
I got it. Physics. Yeah. Finally...
That's a load-bearing torso.
Hey, remember who's saying these things is Brian this time. So tweet at Coverville if you're pissed. Okay.
There you go.
Betty White. You know her. She's her phone has not been hacked. She's fine.
Oldest ever host of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who's second, do you think? Probably. Are you sure like Jessica Tandy or somebody didn't do it
I'm
once?
I'm positive. That was a trivia question we had to answer.
And you got it right.
Got it right.
Good job.
89 years old. Oldest.
Was she older than Bea Arthur or younger if Bea Arthur was still around? Do we know? Because I think she did SNL once.
Well, if only Ironic Name was in the tadpole because he has...
If only.
He has our Golden Girls knowledge.
And weird gifts.
I don't know the Golden Girls. I know that the woman that Estelle Getty, who played the oldest Golden Girl, was actually the youngest of them all.
I know, it's just so weird. She had a terrible death, too. I feel bad for her.
Estelle Getty did?
Yeah, it was dementia and stuff. Yeah, early on onset stuff. It was bad. Betty White's death hoax shocked fans, but it was a hoax. On Wednesday, Betty White fans erupted in a frenzy of six saltine crackers. Following an Empire News article that read, actress Betty White, 92, dies peacefully in her Los Angeles home. She's 92? Goodness. Mm-hmm. She is with it for 92, man.
Yeah, yeah.
However, White's fans overlooked the word die and became, oh, die, D-Y-E.
Yep.
Oh, I get it. What a butthole the freaking Empire News is.
Yeah, jerks.
It didn't occur to me that we're, yeah, that's funny.
Actually, it looks like Rue McClanahan was the youngest. She was born 1934. Betty White and Bea Arthur were both born in 1922.
Oh, wow.
Betty White slightly older, about 3 months older, Estelle Getty born 1923. So,
wow. All right.
Rue McClanahan was actually the youngest.
Weird. She was the blind teacher in Starship Troopers. Remember she was in that? Remember that?
Who was?
She was blind.
Rue McClanahan?
Yeah. You don't remember that? She taught the class about, was one of the not the one with what's his name?
Rico?
No. Yeah, not with Rico. Well, no, Rico's in the whole thing, right? He's the kid. He's the dude.
Right.
Who's the teacher, though? The old guy teacher. Plays Sam Fisher in those video games. I can't think of his name.
The old guy
Michael
teacher.
Ironside. Michael Ironside.
Oh, okay.
So he's one of the instructors when they're in the school half of the movie. The bad half.
Right.
The terrible half of that movie. And then they have another teacher. Well, they're dissecting those giant alien bugs.
Oh, and stuff is exploding all over.
Yeah, Rue McClanahan's
that's the teacher. Oh, is she really? That's Rue McClanahan?
Yeah. It's weird. Funny. Look around. You should see her picture, and it's weird.
You want to know more?
That movie's not very good, though.
No.
I wanted to like it more. Anyway, she's alive and well. Everything's fine. She's hanging out at home, doing what she does. She'll be with us for hopefully a little bit longer. That's it for news.
Okay.
I think. Just take a break. You want to play some music? What do you got, man?
I got music. All right. How about something cool for Lee Schroeder, who says, "Dear Sahara and Bally's," okay. Both of those are Las Vegas casinos, "for his 33rd birthday, which is today, I would love to hear a cover that has a good driving beat of a toe-tapping banjo or head-bobbing guitar and bass. Since I work overnights and will be the night right before and night of due to taking time to scout camp." Holy crap, this is...
is it long?
Could use some more... No, it just could use some punctuation.
Yeah. There's a whole generation that don't do that, by the way. Whole generation. It's weird.
Yeah. Please, they're free. Use punctuation. Scout camp with each of my sons this summer and celebrated my 10th wedding anniversary in August. Period. It would be great to listen to during my shift. So I'm guessing you got a couple night shifts, Lee. You're going to be listening to it there. Love the show since the start of TMS. Keep up the great work. It has brought a smile to my face many a nights at work, which is 9:30 p.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday through Thursday. Ugh, midnight, the graveyard shift. Lee S. from Omaha, Nebraska. And he requested like a driving beat cover of maybe Eleanor Rigby or a couple other songs, one of which we've already played. So let's do a heavier cover with a good driving beat of Eleanor Rigby. This is a group called Godhead featuring Stacy Plunk from a 2001 album called 2000 Years of Human Error. It's the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby rock out.
Oh, this sounds great. Now, if only I had it queued up. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be amazing.
All that yammering that I do, it doesn't give you enough time. I try to
You're a pro, Brian. You're a pro. All right, here it is. Eleanor Rigby, sit tight. Here he is. Here it is. It's a she. It's not a she.
By the door.
goodness. That was hot. I like it.
It was. It rocked, didn't it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. That was really good.
Good.
Yes. Hello and welcome back, all, and within the sound of my voice. It's time for Twitter time. Don't we have a thing for that? We do.
Twitter time.
It's right here, I think. There it is.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Up to now, everybody has used the hashtag TMS questions. We're going to shake things up a little bit. Got a suggestion from somebody who said, shorten that up. It's hard to type. Now, I know a lot of you have like apps and stuff that let you autocomplete such things. So I'm going to look at both for the next little while. But we'd like to transition to a different hashtag. You ready for this one?
Sure.
Pound. That's the hashtag. That's the hash mark, right? Ask TMS.
Hey, oh, that's so easy.
Yeah.
That's
so much simpler.
Plus, it's shorter, and that won't swallow up all your 140 characters.
Exactly. So we're going to save you some space and some time by doing the hashtag Ask TMS. A-S-K-T-M-S. I just realized it's harder to say than spell, but whatever.
Ask TMS.
Yeah. So that hasn't even started yet, so we're going to read all the TMS questions ones today. Mm-hmm. And here they are. Are you ready for these?
I'm ready. Billy, right. You ready? Billy, you're answering these too.
Yeah,
I'm on point.
This. You're in on this, dude. You got to do this. Hold on a second. We got to get a little something here. All right, there we go.
A little something's up.
let's see. I'm not going to do that one. How about this one? This is from
Already someone's getting the axe right there.
Christopher Spack wrote in. Says, okay. What is the worst crowdfunded idea you've ever been seen pitched? Making potato salad is off the table, so we can't use that one. Do you guys have a Kickstarter, GoFundMe, Indiegogo, something that was the worst thing ever?
When I was researching mine, I did local.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at Kickstarter, it's actually really fun to look for ones that are nearby you.
Yeah.
And I saw one where a guy was trying to crowdfund his son's Pinewood Derby car.
Oh my.
And it had exactly $0.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Fathering by proxy. Yep. Nice.
Yeah. How about you, Brian? Do you have a bad one?
Well, I mean, a lot of the ones that we've seen that, you know, like the potato salad one obviously would have been the first one I would have thought of. And there have been other ones like that, and I can't remember what they are. But it reminds me of one my buddy Don, his brother, did. And this was before crowdfunding. This was before Kickstarter. This was an eBay thing he sold. It was, I will say a prayer for you.
Oh, wow. That was it?
And he sold that on eBay. Like, when 1 week would end, he'd put it back up again. He'd sell another one. I mean, he was actually selling these.
Wow.
I will say a prayer for you.
Lovely. Well, here's what I'm going to... here's the one I'm going to recommend that I saw and that I didn't like. It's a project where you drop a baby grand piano on top of a pyramid of champagne glasses and call it art. They did not reach their goal.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, they wanted wanted $2,300.
Oh, jeez.
They got $450, and it wasn't enough.
I could have made that happen for $450.
You think so?
Yeah.
That would have been all right with you. They should have used Indiegogo, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I would have done it for $450.
I mean, the grand piano itself would cost, you know, upwards of $400 or $500, right? And then getting
you don't need a functional one.
Yeah.
No, that's true. You could get a used, busted one, sure. Yeah.
Here's one I just found on the internet: atheist shoes, because even in the more morally superior need decent arch support. They got it too. They wanted $30,000. They got $59,132 to make these shoes that say. I see. It leaves a footprint that says, I can't read the top, but the word atheist is there too. But you leave some like rude atheist statement every time you leave a print someplace.
The joke I was going to go for is shoes with no soles.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Well done.
I think they missed the boat. They could have gone.
They did, dude. What they should have called you.
They would have funded if they used that.
Right. All right. Here is another one. If I had to pay for this, I wouldn't pay for it. Brian, you actually gave this to us. So here, listen to this.
I feel it. I feel it. What to do when I'm about to poop? I go to the potty, pull my underwear down, and then I sit and wait. Sit and wait. Sit and wait until the poop plops down.
You know, the little black kid's killing me. Right. I can't deal with it. He's so miserable looking. Like, he just does not want to be there. Hold on, there's more. Oh, Lord.
Brown leaves down. Put it in the potty and flush it down.
Until Brown leaves town. Wow.
That's the best line in the whole thing. Wow.
Where did you find that, dude?
Big thanks to Geek Girl, Jessica. Jessica Hibson, the Tadpole, let me know about this. And it's fantastic. You're going to be singing it all day long now. It's locked in your head.
That is terrible.
You cut it off right before the Buddy Holly of questionable copyright infraction.
We got to hear that. Hold on. Kind of like, they're waving at it. But that's like bye-bye.
Bye-bye love.
Bye-bye love. Bye-bye love. Yeah.
Right. Where's the Everly Brothers? Everly Brothers.
My pants, wash my hands.
That's good.
Wash my hands and do a potty dance.
Oh, a potty dance?
Sure. I thought that's what you did before you went potty, was the potty dance.
This might be me this weekend if my diverticulitis is acting up. We'll see. All right. How about this question on Twitter?
Yeah.
Nicely done. Patrick Schmaltz. All right. I'm giving this one to Bill first.
All right.
Choose a class warrior, spellcaster, rogue, archer, or cleric. I think he's going to use it in like his next D&D campaign or something.
I'm going to go with spellcaster.
Okay. And tell us why. Well, you got to give us a reason.
I haven't rolled one of those in a while.
Mm.
I've been leaning sword and board lately.
Mm.
So mix it up.
Listen to you, sword and board.
Mm-hmm.
Sword and board.
I prefer magic and whatever range class I can get. That's kind of where I end up. Brian, how about you?
You can probably guess what I'm going to say.
You're going to say rogue.
Man.
Yeah.
Rogue all the way.
Sneaky little backstabber.
That's right.
Throw a bunch of knives at once, which makes no physical sense.
I had a rogue named Merkin.
Merkin?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Did he have a little toupee on?
Uh-huh.
For real? That's awesome.
No. They didn't have that armor set in World of Warcraft.
Are you guys going to watch the Seattle Green Bay game tonight, says Reed Simonson? No. Because I don't
have
TV.
I will watch a little bit of it because my neighbor is going to be, he's all about it, and we have to go over there and pop in, stick our heads in next door. He's the big Green Bay fan. But Seattle's going to win. Just saying.
Yeah, they probably will. Yeah. But I like Green Bay a lot. Always have, always will. Sure. Adam Moore writes in, $1 million, but you don't know where it came from, or $100,000 that came from a legitimate source. Which do you take? That's a weird question.
That's a weird question. I'd take the million.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, let me restructure this a little.
Is there blood on the money? Like, are there?
Yes. Let's go that way. There are blood stains on the million. There's a bullet hole through his whole stack of it.
Oh,
it looks clearly like just the dirtiest drug money ever. It's even
are they sequential bills?
Yes. And it's like got paint spatter from the time the bank tried to catch somebody.
All right. 100,000.
Becoming less appealing.
All right. I'm making it bad. There's sauerkraut in there. And,
way to buzzkill my million.
Yeah. There's horse vomit in that money. I don't know why. There's jizz. All right. Another J. Martin wrote in, says, your favorite Peanuts character and why?
I'd probably go with Snoopy.
Your Snoopy
Snoopy's
man.
Adventure was a really cool game.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. That game or that character is, he's iconic. You can't not love him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go with, I was more of a Linus kid growing up. I relate to Linus. Also
he's
Charlie
so
Brown in
needy.
A lot of ways. No, who, Linus is mean?
Yeah, Linus is needy, man.
Oh, needy. He said mean.
Oh, no.
I didn't think he was all that needy. He struck me as just, he just had a different perspective. Yeah.
Well, and he was the voice of reason in the whole Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Have we forgotten what Christmas is all about?
That great pumpkin. I also like Pigpen just because.
Yeah,
that was,
I was going to say Pigpen because you always knew where you stood with Pigpen.
Yeah, there's always, you always knew it was up there. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite, Brian, that jumps out?
I was going to say Pigpen, actually. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Next up. That sounded wrong. I didn't mean it to sound like that. Roger Bishop wrote in, said pineapple or coconut?
Ooh, coconut.
Mm. Pineapple all the way.
Yeah, pineapple for me too.
No, why? You like the coconut?
Yeah.
How do you like it? How do you do it? What do you prefer it in? What
I like
form?
Coconut rum.
Yeah.
I like coconut milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink too much of that though. If yeah. Tom Hanks taught us anything, it's that you'd get the run
shredded from. Stuff oh, yeah. On a snowball.
Shredded coconut on stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you've got the you have the two cups. You can be a Monty Python Holy Grail cosplayer. Yeah.
Or make a fake bra or whatever you need.
Make your fake bra.
Yeah.
For your Ice Bucket Challenge video.
I like pineapple. I like it grilled mostly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
good. But
you made,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I made pineapple burgers last night. Pineapple teriyaki burgers.
Follow up on that. It was good. Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah.
I remember those.
Homemade buns.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you made your own buns.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Warm buns, Brian, they call them now.
That's what they call me.
Pineapple that is ripe, is there's nothing like it in the world. It's amazing.
I'm more of a mango fan.
Really? I think mango tastes like hairspray to me. Like lady hairspray. Okay. No? Okay. And only me? I think it's, you know, like some people can't smell the asparagus pea and other people can.
Yeah.
Or whatever, those the weird smell things people have.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's mangoes just smell like hairspray, and people who like mangoes don't know what I'm talking about.
They taste so to you, they taste like the smell of hairspray.
Yeah, basically. And the smell of them smells like hairspray, and the taste tastes like I'm eating someone like someone sprayed hairspray, and I walked into the room with my mouth open. That's what it tastes like.
Wow.
Unless it's a smoothie, I'm fine with a smoothie form. But if it's like mango right off the husk or right off the peel or whatever, yuck, gross.
You guys have a favorite melon? Like I lean towards cantaloupe.
Probably I'm more like, wintergreen. I like wintergreen. You like watermelon?
I like watermelon.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me the other day that watermelon's technically a berry. Isn't that
weird? Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if that's true. Someone had to look that up.
Interesting. So Lay's, we actually, speaking of mango, we just got a couple bags. Tina saw these in the store and picked up 3 of the 4 bags of like their crazy flavors, you know, that they want people to vote on. To pick the flavor that they continue on with.
These are Lay's potato chips?
Yeah, they're doing the Do Us a Flavor campaign.
Oh, this kind of like Doritos did this once sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. So the 3 she picked up were mango salsa, which is what made me think of it, which is really, really good. Yeah. Wasabi ginger, which is actually also pretty good. And surprisingly, cappuccino, which is crazy, but it's also good. I mean, I'd say of the 3 of them, the mango salsa is the one that, you know, if you're having a sandwich, that's the one you're going to throw next to it on the plate.
Yeah.
But the wasabi ginger is not bad, and I was surprised at the cappuccino.
You know how I say wasabi ginger, right?
No, how do you say that?
Hot redhead.
Oh. All right.
Yeah. No, the first one, mango salsa, huge fan.
Yeah.
A huge fan of that. Like it's not all forms of mango.
It's just mango on its own that you're.
Yeah, the freshest, most non-processed, the best
way to eat mango is the way you like it the least.
Yeah. If you mangle your mango, I'm in. what else here? Let's see. We got one here from. I'm skipping ahead here. How about this one? Scott Sutton says, "Would you love to see a new Gauntlet?" Well, there is a new Gauntlet coming, and I am excited about it, and I will play it.
Right.
So yes, the answer is yes for me. How about you?
Some sort of preview code in my loot crate.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, unlocks the loot crate exclusive in-game helm, Mask of the Worm Slayer. So actually, I have to buy Gauntlet, but then I get the Mask of the Worm Slayer.
It's still like a month and a half away or something.
Yeah, I think so.
It looks like it's got some good Diabloism stuff going on. I don't know. What if some of those helms are so rad the cosplay community goes crazy and has to make them all, man?
Yeah.
Think about it.
I'm looking forward to.
You got to plan to this stuff. Plan on this stuff.
I think I have to play more Diablo before I play more Gauntlet.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, Diablo's still a threat in cosplay. People like the Tyrael and, you know.
Who's the Matthew?
Oh, now you made me do it wrong. Hold on. Malthael. He's the death dude, yeah. With the
sickles. I've seen a lot of really cool costumes of him.
That one seemed... The minute I saw him in the cinematic back in the day, I went, yep, that'll be cosplayed all to hell and back. And that's good, because he's cool. Let's see here. How about, moving on down the road, what will be the defining feature of Joan Rivers' career? I will say her propelling forward... The style of stand-up that a lot of people do now is kind of, you know, she helped pioneer that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the pioneering effort for female comedians, she'll get a lot of credit for that. People will see her as, wow, she is one of the reasons that there is such an awesome, vibrant female comedian world out there now. Like, she'll get a lot of credit for that. Whether it's due or not, I think that's what she'll get credit for.
I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't be for the solid gold dancer bit that she's
doing. I completely forgot about that.
Or that red carpet crap.
Oh, you know, the red carpet crap was funny when she was funny on it. You know, when it turned into just a fashion thing, it's like, okay, pass.
So when she was funny, it was funny. How about this? How about her plastic surgery stuff? Do you think that'll be a legacy that she'll not be able to? I don't mean in a maybe negative or maybe not negative, but a lot of people will just remember that crazy.
I think people remember that, but
wasn't unique to her.
No.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In fact, I'm trying to think if she's even the worst offender. Probably not. There's some out there, and whatever. I say worst offender, not meaning that, don't get plastic surgery. Do whatever you want. But there are some people who, it's not them who's the problem. It's their doctor, dude.
Right, right. It's not the first thing when you think of Michael Jackson that you bring up, right? You don't think, plastic surgery.
That's true.
So I don't think the same thing will happen with her.
I think monkeys, the kid that played Webster.
Corey Feldman,
a weird roller coaster in your backyard, mole on your penis, and almost dropping his kid off the balcony. Those are the things I remember.
And the Michael Jackson Moonwalker arcade game.
That's right.
You had to catch a monkey, and you would turn into a Michael Jackson robot and shoot lasers.
Of course. Truly, the greatest legacy he could have left was that. You ever see Captain EO when it was a thing?
No, I never got to see that. I'm really bummed.
I did.
I think it's back. I think it's back there, but I still didn't get to see it.
I saw it when I was young, and I thought it was okay. It was all right.
Mm. Is it still 3D?
Yeah, I think so. But it was bad 3D, like stereoscopic blue-red glasses deal.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Not the fancy business we have now, although the new one might be different. Yeah. But, who knows? I don't know. That was a weird thing in general. Wasn't that Spielberg or somebody was involved?
Yeah, I think so.
That's been too long. All right, we're gonna do two more, and then we'll get out of here. We've done our hour, and we're gonna give them a couple extras there.
Great.
How about this? What faults do you both have that make your wives really give you grief? Bill, you're married.
Yeah,
you go first.
And I know this right away. This is a common trait among the Duran men. Is an unaltering stubbornness, especially when we think we're right.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean I'm wrong either when I'm being stubborn, but sometimes I realize I should cede a little bit of ground.
Well, at least you see it. Some people never see it. I've never found you to be disagreeable. You've been always really easy to get along with. But that's I guess I'm not married to you.
Yeah, but I'm also mostly right. Yeah. So.
I haven't seen you in the morning on a toilet yet either.
No. No, you haven't tried to build a costume with me either.
No. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'll bet there can be moments of tension.
That is the only time that we will ever have any sort of tension.
Really?
And this year we did pretty good. We didn't build a full new costume together, but we did work on a couple of projects, and sometimes it's like, okay, you just do it like that, the way you want to do it, and I'm going to go not think about it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Brian, give us a window on you and Tina and what trait.
Buying shit that I don't need, that I have plenty, that I have all the grand plans in the world to do something with, and never doing something with it.
I love it. I love it. That's pretty good.
That's what she thought podcasting was going to turn into. Like, he's going to do it for a couple months and then be done. But,
another experiment. Yep.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, look at that. That was the one that really paid out, though. That did fine. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For me, I tend to catastrophize everything. So if Kim says, hey, we're going to my mom's this weekend.
The whole tadpole just went, no.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it. I've shared too much, clearly. But if she said we're going to your mother-in-law's this weekend, my immediate reaction is always, ugh, what are we doing? Why do we got to go? You know, like, I'm just so like, don't want to go to that. And she thinks I should be just a little more positive about those things. Like, hey, it's a chance to see your in-laws and hang out with the cousins and the kids and the nephews and nieces and stuff. It's a good time. And I always look at it as there are a million other things I could be doing. And so I'm kind of lousy at that. And I catastrophize what those meetings are going to be like. She's going to be judgmental. She's going to say something to offend somebody or whatever. Her mom, I mean.
Right.
And it usually doesn't work out that way. I'm usually just being a butt. So I'm trying to be better about that. Because Kim's rad. She does everything right.
Oh, yeah.
I suck.
Yeah. She's good.
She's great. Mm-hmm. I married
up. We all married up.
Yeah. Yes, it's a fact.
Yep. Okay. Final question. It's an important one, too. So I want everyone to really take this one in. Rose Hillen wrote in, said, what is your idea of the perfect breakfast? Waffles, pancakes, last night's pizza? What? I don't think it's just those three.
Oh. Yeah, no. I mean, it can be. God, I'm torn. I think, you know, so this is what I do. When I go to, if I go to Denny's, which is not very often, but when I go to Denny's and they've got their build your own Grand Slam.
Yeah.
As opposed to the build your own Grand Slam.
Yeah, the build your own Grand Slam.
Build your own Grand Slam.
That's a stubborn piece of bacon. Yeah.
I go with the big four: crispy hash browns, pancakes, eggs over medium, and what did I forget? Oh, bacon.
Oh, all right. That's good, Bill.
Go with the standards.
Yeah, that's a good standard, Bill.
Yeah, I like to switch it up whenever I can, but it's been a really long time since I've had a really good toasted bagel, you know, with like just a little bit too much cream cheese on it.
Mm.
It's been a while. Mm. That's what I've been hankering for.
I don't know what my answer is. Sometimes,
I don't know. You've got the perfect breakfast with no repercussions, no calorie, no fat, no.
All right, so I'm not going to gain weight. I'm not going to whatever. Right. It's just going to be good.
So now all of a sudden French toast is on the table.
Sure.
Literally.
Sure, literally. Okay, I'm doing, I the standards. I like a big, I really like waffles. So like a big buttery syrupy waffle with like maybe, what do you call it? Blueberries on it.
Mm-hmm.
And bacon. I like scrambled eggs with ketchup in it and grapefruit juice. That's it.
Wow.
That's
pretty good.
I want that. I really do want that. Cool.
Yeah, there's a Mexican food restaurant, a family-owned Mexican food restaurant, multiple locations here in Denver called Santiago's, and they sell breakfast burritos that cause a line out the door.
Really?
They are so good, and they're $2. It's like...
Oh, wow. What the heck?
It's a great deal, and it's their green chili is fantastic.
Have them come to Utah, man.
Go to the Utah.
Yeah, go to the Utah. Do you know, it's a call them up, say, hey, you should come here. And they'd say, where? And you'd say,
in the Utah.
Yeah, see?
Perfect.
All right. That's it for your Twitter questions. Thank you all for sending them. And again, this is the week you're going to need to remember this. Hashtag is now AskTMS. #AskTMS. Do that all week. Do it on the day of. We don't care either way because we are going to read them on Thursday's TMS PM each and every week.
Very good.
Bill Duran, having you here is always a blast, but having you really be here is even more blastier.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks for being on. Do you have any fitness tips before we leave? Because you didn't give any this week.
No, that's because I was running around at a convention like a crazy person.
Yeah. You were getting your cardio, but not, you know. Not in the exercise way, more in the necessity, I got to wear this costume for 6 hours kind of way.
Yeah. Well, I will say that when you do make fitness a priority in your life and you then take a week off of it, you start to feel it. That means you're doing well because, you know, you're doing okay for the most part.
Yeah.
Except for that 1 week you took off.
Yeah. Well, good on you for maintaining, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be back the normal deal probably next Tuesday, I guess.
Sure will.
He'll be here all weekend with me at Salt Lake Comic Con. He'll be roaming the floor in awesome cosplay. If you see him, make sure you say hi, get lots of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And give him a big sweaty hug.
Yeah, yeah.
What I call an armor hug.
Yeah.
Which is where you just sort of tap my shoulders from afar.
And if you're looking for me, I'm at booth Green 15 in the Artist Alley. So that's where myself and Carter will be. We'll have a bunch of prints. We'll be signing those. They're inexpensive and cool, and we're using this year to kind of test this out, see how this works, and you know, see if it's something we want to maybe invest more in next time it rolls around here in town or elsewhere. So please come by and say hi. That's it. Brian, anything from you? Yes. Anything you want to say?
No, unless, you know, people can check out the Coverville I did yesterday, covers of Bananarama, Macy Gray, the Cardigans, and... who was the fourth one? Someone else. I'm not gonna try to remember who it was, but it was good.
We're getting old. I understand.
That's right. Understand. It was another female fronted '90s band. How's that?
I like a good female front. So let's see what else. Oh, I know. TMS is our, you know, Patreon is the thing we do, and it's over at patreon.com/TMS, and it's the reason this PM edition of the show exists. We don't do the show without it, and thanks to your support, we are able to do it. And if you haven't yet supported it, please consider it. You don't have to put much in there, but it's very, very inexpensive to get in there and support us, considering how much actual entertainment we pump out every month and put into your sweaty little hands. You know, it's just a good way to do it. And there's the coffee level, and there's all kinds of other levels that you can benefit from. and go read it. It's just easy to read. You'll know what you're doing. Just go check it out. The words coming out of my mouth sound funny to me. I don't know why. it's at patreon.com/TMS. Our website is at frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us themorningstream@gmail.com and on Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, the show at Morning Stream, and you can find Bill at Chinbeard.
Mm-hmm.
And punishprops.com. Don't forget that. All right. Brian, let's go with some more music, maybe.
How about some more music?
Yeah.
On September 5th, my husband Eric and I will be married for 4 years, wrote Felicia. Mm. Since you don't do a show on Fridays, my request is for Thursday the 4th, preferably for TMS PM, so we can both listen live. But anytime is fine. We originally met online through a social networking site, me in Texas, him in Washington State. After becoming friends, we began to fly to see each other and eventually developed a relationship. In 2009, he asked me to marry him. We are now living in Texas with a wonderful 2-year-old son named Silas. Aww. During the days where we still lived across the nation from each other, we would listen to the song Here Without You by Three Doors Down to comfort us until we could be together again. It was even incorporated into our wedding as I walked down the aisle to symbolize it being the last time I was without him. Brian, if you can find any cover of Here Without You, it would be greatly appreciated. If this isn't possible, any cover by Three Doors Down will do. Happy anniversary, Eric. Love, Felicia.
Nice. And they're listening live somewhere, maybe. That's
cool. They're listening live somewhere. So happy anniversary, you two. So there's a lot of covers of Here Without You that sound just like the Three Doors Down original. Mm. Lots of them. Mm. And went down to the everything, vocals, everything.
Sure.
I found one that did stray from the formula, and I kind of like this, and I can't tell where this guy's from, but he's got a little bit of an accent. The performer is Andrew Spencer versus Lazard. It is an unce cover of it, but I kind of like, kind of dig it. There's a little bit of EDM going on for you. It's Here Without You from the single of the same name, which has about 58 different versions on it.
Nice.
It's Andrew Spencer versus Lazard.
All right, sounds good to me. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Bill.
You betcha.
Thank you, this glove I've been picking out the whole show. And thank you, the listener, who we wouldn't do this without you. Thanks for being here. Thank you, live chat room. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I saw your pretty face. 1,000 lies have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. But all the miles that separate, they disappear now, and I'm dreaming of your face. You, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. Think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
And I guarantee I'm going to pee on your head.
Oh, gosh.